Just shout out again if it looks like I'm closing this thing down. Make sure you keep me straight. Turn in your Bible to James chapter 1. And tonight I want to talk to you about the topic of temptation. And my prayer is that we will come away with a renewed understanding of temptation. And the reality is we all deal with temptation, every single one of us. There's not a single person that does not deal with and struggle with and through temptation. The most holy person that you look up to and think, man, that guy or that girl has got it, I guarantee you they deal with temptation, okay? And so God describes to us here in James in a very powerful way what we're dealing with when we're dealing with temptation. I want to unpack that, give us an understanding of what this looks like. And so we're going to read, starting in verse 13, we're going to read through verse 18. Let's look at God's word together. Starting verse 13, no one undergoing a trial should say, I'm being tempted by God, since God is not tempted by evil and he himself doesn't tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own evil desire. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. By his own choice, he gave us birth by the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now, we've been studying how trials are a part of life, and when trials and tests come, those things can be difficult on us because, you know, we just like for everything to be super smooth and super easy, but life's not easy. Trials come. And the devil, if you're not careful, will get in your mind that you are going through a trial, and he will tempt you to doubt God. He'll tempt you to doubt God. He will tempt you to curse God. He will tempt you to turn your back on God. And so that's sort of the context here of what we were looking at in James chapter 1, because it says, listen, you know, brothers and sisters, we go through various trials, but consider it joy. Why? Because God is at work in that trial, in that test, because what he is doing is he is strengthening your faith. He's giving you endurance. He's building your character. He's pressing you into Jesus. He's pushing you into the Son of God, that you would resemble him, that you would be sanctified in Christ, that you would start looking more and more like Jesus. And so that's what God is doing in your life. But he says, listen, throughout this process, don't think for one time that God is the source of temptation. No temptation in this life comes from God. Why? Because God is good. Because God has no evil in him at all, period. There is nothing within God that's evil. God is totally good. He is totally perfect, and he does not tempt. He cannot be tempted. He does not tempt. He is the good God. And so as we start to understand temptation, know this tonight, that there is never any temptation where God's the one who is bringing that temptation into your life. God will never once tempt you to sin. So you never once can turn and say, God, you made me do this. God, it's your fault that I have fallen away. God, it's your fault that I turned my back. God, it's your fault that I have sinned. No. The Bible makes it extremely clear. God does not tempt. He never tempts. He never tempts us. So then that brings us to, where does temptation come from? Well, I want to start really at the very beginning, because we need to really understand where the source of temptation comes from. And if you're not careful here in this passage, you're going to overlook that actually the source of temptation comes from the devil himself. So remember this, mark it down. The devil is the tempter. God does not tempt, he never will tempt, but the devil, Satan, he is the tempter. Turn in your Bible, hold your place, but turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 3. Let's go back to the beginning of the book. I mean, this is where it all starts. And here's what it says in Genesis chapter 3. God's created Adam and Eve. He's put them in the garden. And you know what happens. Adam and Eve sin against God. And they sin against God. But who arrives on the scene and leads them in the temptation that's going to draw them and pull them away from God? The devil. That's who. So the devil, he's the fallen angel, who he's a created being. God created him, but he rebelled against God in heaven, and he had been cast down out of heaven, and God has given him a leash he's on, okay? He's not God. He's not in control. He can't just do anything he wants, anytime he wants. I mean, he's like a dog on a leash, and God's holding the other end. But God has given him a leash, and he's causing havoc and chaos, and he's destructive, and he's a tempter. So that's who he is. There is nothing good about the devil at all. Like, there's nothing good. God is totally good, and the devil is totally evil. And while I say all of that, if you're a new believer in here tonight, I want to make it crystal clear to you that when we talk about the devil, we're not talking about him in the sense that he and God are on the same plane, and it's like good versus evil, or, you know, I was trying to think of some superheroes, but my mind went blank. But, you know, like a superhero and an evil villain, and they're about equal, and they're just fighting it out, and man, we got lucky. God barely came out on top. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about God and the devil. No, the devil is nowhere near anything like God. He has none of the power God has. He's powerful. But he is not God, and he's nowhere near God. Nowhere on the same plane is God and the devil. But God has allowed the devil to do the nasty, evil work that the devil does. But even in that, God is victorious in it all, okay? And so Adam and Eve are there in the garden, and who shows up? Well, Genesis chapter 3 tells us. It says, verse 1, "Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it, or you will die.' The devil said, 'No, you will certainly not die.' The serpent said to the woman, 'In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' The woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. She also gave it to her husband who was with her, and he ate it as well." So, man, it's not all on Eve now. Some of y'all were thinking that. Old Adam wasn't doing his job, okay? He was supposed to be leading. And instead, he was just following around, and Eve said, "We're going to do this, Adam." And I said, "Okay." And he took some too, all right? But here's the issue. Here's the issue, right? The devil has used the same playbook from the beginning. And he's using the same playbook. He only has one play, and this is it. Temptation, chaos, havoc. And so what's he come? He comes to Adam and Eve and he says, "Doubt God. Doubt God. Did God really say that?" No, we take God at his word. So what's the devil do? To tempt you, he says, "Does God's word really say that?" He says, God's really keeping something from you that you could be enjoying. I mean, this is kind of the playbook. So understand, God never tempts. God may test you and bring a trial and allow a trial into your life to build your faith, but God will never tempt you to sin. Only the devil is the one who comes in with that temptation. So remember this, he is the tempter. The Bible tells us he is the liar and the father of lies. He has never told the truth, and he never will. He's a liar and the father of lies. So if it's coming from him, you can't trust him. But here's the deal. As the liar and as the deceiver and as the tempter, his lie is going to sound really good. He's going to tell you what you want to hear. And so he's a liar. The Bible says that he comes, he has come only to kill, steal, and destroy. That's who we're talking about here. The Bible says the devil has come to only kill, steal, and destroy. So he has one plan. He has one mission. He has one playbook, and it's to cause havoc. And here's what he wants to do. He wants to tempt you, and he wants you to sin against God. Listen, he can't do anything to God. Do you understand that tonight? So here's what he has said. Since I can't do anything to God, I'm going to do something to who he loves. Because I can't do something to God, I'm going to do something to his children. And I'm going to try to get at God by going at his people. And so the devil, he wants to do all he can to keep people from giving their life to Jesus and being saved. I mean, he wants as many people to spend eternity in hell with him as he can get to go with them. But if he can't keep someone from spending eternity in hell with them and they give their life to Jesus, then he moves to his next plan, which is he wants to do everything he can to hinder their growth and their maturity in Christ. He wants to keep them from turning the world upside down for Jesus. He wants to keep believers from being on fire for the Lord. And so how does he do that? Well, he brings temptation because sin grieves the Holy Spirit in our life. Sin puts a wedge really between us and God. When you are tempted and then you give into that temptation and you sin and you refuse to repent and to ask for forgiveness, you stop reading your Bible. You stop going to church. You stop doing the things you're supposed to be doing. You stop loving your family the way you're supposed to because there's something messed up in you. It's that sin as a child of God that it's grieved the Holy Spirit in your life. And the devil understands all this, so he is coming after us with temptation. When we go back to James and we look at this, we see that it says in verse 14 that each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own evil desire. Verse 15, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. So here's the deal. The devil knows that we are weak in our flesh nature. The devil is not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. Okay? The devil is not in all places at all time. God is. Now, the devil has his, we'll call them minions, he has his demons. And so they're taking their marching orders, and they're a part of that demonic empire of causing chaos and temptation and havoc in our lives. But so the devil's not all-knowing, but he's smart. He's smarter than you and me. He's smart, he's intelligent, and he figures things out. And so he learns. He figures out what our weaknesses are. We all have different weaknesses. And so he learns your fleshly weaknesses. And so here's what he does. You know, Jesus, he calls people to be fishers of men when he called his disciples. Hey, leave your nets, stop fishing for fish, leave your nets and become fishers of men. And go with me and follow me. And you know what the devil does? He kind of uses that fishing thing as well. Because when it comes to temptation, that's what he does. It's like a fisherman. Okay? So, I think everybody can follow me on this. Even if you've never fished before, you can understand what a fisherman does. The bait is not going to be good for the fish, right? Because the bait has a hook in it. And the fisherman is trying to tempt the fish, trick the fish. So he, based on all the things in the water, the season, what the fisherman thinks the fish is going to be wanting at that time, he's going to disguise this bait, and he's going to cast that bait out in front of the fish. I like using a Texas rig. That's like a worm with a bullet weight, and you put that lizard out there, and you know what you do? You're jiggling that thing. You're bringing it back. You're working it back slowly. And what's happening? Well, the fish are there, and man, you just kind of, you're flaunting that thing. You're putting that candy out in front of, you know, you're like, man, this has got to be, you know, they can't resist it. And then you don't catch anything. You say, you know, I want to change it up. So let me try a new lure, and I'm going to throw that out there. And I'm going to keep tempting and trying to get that fish to bite. Try to get that fish to bite. And you keep throwing that bait. And hey, you may toss that bait out there several times and the fish never bite it. And then eventually what happens? That bass can't take it anymore. And it goes and it opens up that big old mouth and it takes that bait. But then it's in for a surprise, isn't it? It thought it was getting something great. It thought it was getting something delicious. And all of a sudden, the fisherman pulls that line and sets the hook, and uh-oh, I've been tricked. And now the hook has been set in me. And what I thought was going to be great, this isn't a good thing anymore. And so that's really how the devil is at work, is he is flaunting. He is constantly dangling the bait out in front of you, and he's learning your weaknesses. He's learning what you're going to bite on, and he's going to keep coming, and he's going to keep coming because he's trying to get at God through you. He's trying to bring you down and keep you from maturing, and he keeps coming. And then if you bite the bait, he sets the hook. He sets the hook. Now, we need to understand something. Let me look at my time here. All right, good. 15 more minutes. We need to understand something. Temptation itself is not sin. Did you know that? Temptation itself is not sin. You and I will be tempted. Okay. Giving temptation time to linger and desiring it in your heart, it becomes sin. Going for the bait, hook, line, and sinker, and biting that temptation, that is sin. But just because temptation comes doesn't mean you sin or that you have to sin. So let me put it another way. I told you earlier, you can't ever say, God, you tempted me. You also can't ever say, the devil made me do it. Did you know that? You do not have to give in to temptation. Temptation will come. The devil's going to tempt you. He's going to try all he can. But friend, You're the one that will decide if you allow it to linger and you desire it. You're the one who will decide if you're going to take the bait, hook, line, and sinker. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this. Listen to this. No temptation has overtaken me except that which is common to man. But with every temptation that comes, God prepares a way of escape out of it. Now think about that. So God knows the devil's going to tempt you, but God is so good. He is so above the devil. He's a million steps ahead of the devil, beyond that. And so as the devil plans his temptation, God says, listen, as he tempts you, I'm going to give you a clear path so that you don't have to give in to that temptation. And so God says, listen, you don't have to give in to temptation and sin. So just because temptation comes doesn't mean you have to commit it. And even if you allow temptation to linger and you have that sin in your heart desire, but you never acted on it physically or whatnot, sure, you may have sinned in your heart and you need to ask for forgiveness of that. But it's even worse to take the next step. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's even worse to take the next step, okay? And so God has prepared a way of escape. So the devil tempts, but God, in his goodness, he has prepared that way of escape. And we see in verses 14 and 15 that like there's this progression in this. We kind of already talked about it, but it says in verse 14, each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own evil desire. So we know we have these evil desires, our flesh nature. The devil is coming alongside that and bringing those temptations. And so we see like this progression of our evil desire. And it says in verse 15, then after desire, you know, in our heart, we allow, then we when it has conceived, it gives birth to that sin. And then when sin is fully grown and we're acting on that sin, you know, it gives birth to death. Here's what happens. Oftentimes when we give in to temptation and we sin, that sin doesn't, it's usually lots of times isn't just a one-time sin. It we become repeat offenders. And we keep that sin, and that sin becomes a stronghold. We become shackled to that sin. We become enchained to that sin. We're enslaved to that sin. It gets fully grown in our life, and then it gives birth to death, and it just brings so much destruction to our life, and it separates us from our good Father. But it says in verse 16, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. By his own choice, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And as I was just meditating on that, thinking about how the devil tempts us, how God doesn't, and the devil tempts us, and then how that temptation can progress in our life and give birth to sin in our life, and we can become enslaved to that. And oftentimes the temptation, the devil's saying, hey, this is what you need, this is what's best, this is going to make you feel good, this is going to meet the need, whatever. You come here and I'm reminded that God's reminding us that his way is always better. His way is always better. I mean, it says here, don't be deceived, right? Don't be deceived. The devil's the liar and the father of lies. The devil's, He just wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. That temptation, that sin's not going to help you. It's going to harm you. It's going to hurt you. He says, so don't be deceived, brothers. He says, remember, every good gift and every perfect gift, it doesn't come from anywhere but one place. It comes from God. It comes from God. It comes down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. See, God's way and His ways are always better. God knows what's best for us. He knows what we need. God's not keeping something from us. He is protecting us. God's giving us only the very best. Understand, God only gives us the best. How do you know that? Well, let's look to the cross. And never move away from the shadow of the cross. And if you ever start doubting that God actually wants to give you the best, remember something. He's already given you everything because He gave you the Son of God on the cross. And so he says, listen, don't be deceived. Remember something. God is good. He gives good gifts and perfect gifts, and the good and perfect gifts only come from Him. They come from heaven. Don't be deceived by the devil. Trust God. Trust His ways. Trust His word. He knows what's best. He gives you what you need. He's not like the world. He's not like the devil that flips and flops, and you got these shifting shadows. God doesn't change with the time. He doesn't change with the season. God has always been God, and He's always given you exactly what you need, the perfect and good gift. So you don't have to doubt Him. He's not going to one day do this. You can trust Him. It's who He is. His way is always better. This is God is unchanging. God is good. And it says here in this verse 18, by His own choice He gave us birth by the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. You see, God's way, His way is eternal. His way is unending. God has brought you and I and given us a gift, the gift of Jesus and the gift of our salvation that we did not earn and we did not deserve. And He's given us Christ, and we know that this gift that He's given us is eternal. A first fruits of His, a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Listen, as we understand temptation, my prayer for us tonight is that we would not be lackadaisical, not think temptation can't touch me or you, but understand that it's real. Understand where it's coming from, what's going on in that. God's way is better. He gives you the pathway to take that you can escape. Some of you might just need to hear this tonight. You don't have to give in to the temptation. You don't have to. Go God's way. And remember something. Every single one of us will sin. And one of the things the devil's going to do is going to beat you up about that. He's going to beat you up about that. Because tonight's not about you leaving here deflated and defeated. Listen, leave here tonight knowing you've got the victory in Jesus. And if this week you have sinned, temptation got the best of you, You gave into that temptation. I'm here to tell you, you've got a loving God that He wants nothing more from you than you to just call and say, God, forgive me, I'm sorry. That's it. I turn from it, God. Help me. God, I'm sure I'm going to mess this thing up again. I don't want to. But God, right now, forgive me, help me. And next time, God, keep helping me and empower me to not give in to that temptation. Let's as we get ready to close in a word of prayer, I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to ask if somebody would pray for our revival. Any volunteer? All right, we got it covered. So after I pray, once you pray for our revival, and before I pray, I want to give you an update. I just want to say I talked to our evangelist today. His name, by the way, I've said it, but I'll say it again, Jimmy Arms. So if you want to have his name and be praying for him, Jimmy Arms, Dr. Jimmy Arms. But I spoke with him today just about the up, and we, you know, talked and prayed and discussed some things. And so, he's very excited. God is working in his life. We discussed what God's been doing in our church, and he just encouraged me, and we talked about how important prayer is for this, and just praying for, we need to be thinking about what are we praying for God to do? You need to be thinking about that. What are you praying for God to do in this revival? Be thinking about that. Make that a part of your prayer. Let's make that a part of our prayers, all right? Let's go to the Lord. Father, Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being the God of forgiveness. Just as we see with Jonah, you're the God of second chances. Lord, every single one of us in this room, we fail, we fall, we sin against you, God. It is not our desire to do that. But Lord, in our weakness and in our flesh, there are times when we just choose temptation over the path of righteousness. Forgive us of that, God, but empower us to know that we more and more and more want to go your way and not the way of this world and of sin. Lord, we thank you that you never will tempt us, and that all you do, God, is love us and guide us, protect us. You're in control. And God, that all these good and perfect gifts, they come from you. Lord, help us to not look to the world or look anywhere else for anything that we think we need. May we know that your way is always the best way. Lord, we love you. And Lord, hear our prayer as we pray for revival.